Rainbow Beach and Fraser Island. Hello, this is Keith. Last time, I described the journey to Rainbow Beach on Queensland's Sunshine Coast. Today, I'm going to tell you more about it. One of the first questions to suggest themselves at Rainbow Beach were, where's the beach? And why is it Rainbow Beach? A lady in a shop was most helpful. Sounds like the title of a bad soap opera, doesn't it? She said. But if you just follow the main road, you'll get there. It was a little strange to walk uphill to get to the beach. I guess that low hill up to the surf club was once the sand dune. And if you walk along the beach, with caution, for it is legally a road, you'll come to the coloured sands. Rather, these are cliffs made up of different coloured sands, which form different coloured strata which gives the beach its name. At this time of day, they were in the shade and a little muted. Maybe the early morning would be a time to see them at the best. Above these cliffs is the Carlow Sand Blow. This is where blown sand has been deposited on a cliff top, and is said to be a rare geological feature. It's been known about from the earliest times. James Cook, in his explorations of the area in Endeavour, named it after a member of his crew. He was in the habit of doing this. By the time he reached here, he'd got down to the cabin boy. But when Cook saw it, it was smaller, and it still continues to encroach slowly inland even today. It's a favoured place for sand surfing and paragliding. We didn't see any of this activity going on, which is a pity, because I'd love to have tried them. Especially the latter, which I've tried before. Normally I have no wish to try parachuting, but in this case the chute is fully deployed before we leave the ground. The main attraction around here is Fraser Island. At about 75 miles long, it's the largest sand island in the world, and in spite of substantial logging operations in the past, remains pretty well as it was when James Cook passed by it. Except that the Bachula people no longer live there. Cook called it the Great Sandy Peninsula, thinking it was part of the mainland, which of course it isn't. Subsequent explorers named it the Great Sandy Island. You need to take a ferry, known locally as a barge, to cross, guess what, the Great Sandy Strait. Because Fraser Island is composed of nothing but sand, originally brought down the Hunter, Hawkesbury and Clarence rivers in faraway New South Wales, and deposited here thousands of years ago by ocean currents. Only four-wheel drive vehicles are allowed on the island, and even then you need to obtain permits, so it's easier to sign up for an organised tour. Our bus, which looked more like a truck than with a bus body, a modern version of the ones they used to have on some Mediterranean islands, picked us up at our accommodation. The driver and guide, an experienced hand called Woody, drove us straight to Inskip Point to the barge, where we had priority because the company that owns the bus also owns the barge. The island's main highway is a magnificent beach which runs the length of the eastern coast. We were lucky, said Woody. The tide was such that we could drive all the way along the beach, instead of taking a rather bumpy track inland. All the way we were watching the beach and the ocean. One girl said she thought she saw a whale, but nobody else saw it. Except Woody, who said he'd seen something out of the corner of his eye, which could have been a whale. I don't blame him. He was concentrating on the sand and the incoming waves. But it's not all beach. At a place called Yurong, we turned inland to drive over a rough track to through the forest to Lake Mackenzie. At the time of our visit, work was in progress to improve the car park and toilet block, and only coach parties were allowed. Privateers aren't completely excluded, though. There are over 100 freshwater lakes on the island, and that's the second largest concentration of lakes in Australia. Tasmania has the largest. They're also claimed to be among the most clear and clean lakes in the world. Mackenzie isn't the biggest, but probably the best known lake. Although I do have to admit that I hadn't heard of it until Steve Irwin mentioned it on one of his Crocodile Hunter programs. However, it went onto my bucket list immediately. It takes its name from the owner of a former logging company nearby, whose men used it as a recreational area. The sand around the lake is almost pure silica and white. And showing my photographs afterwards, I had to explain several times that wasn't snow on the lake shore. When we'd had a paddle and taken all the pictures we wanted, Woody took us on a walk along a boardwalk through the rainforest. We passed over a creek. Again, difficult to photograph, for the water was so clear, the pictures looked more like a path through the trees. And not only could we not see it, but... What can't you hear? Asked Woody. What we couldn't hear was the creek itself. Because there are no rocks on the bottom to make noise, the waters went their way absolutely silently. So who was Fraser, from whom the island takes its modern name? Well, it's named after Eliza Fraser, who was the wife of Captain James Fraser, the master of the Stirling Castle, which ran aground on the Great Barrier Reef in 1836. The crew took to the lifeboats, and the captain's boat, leaking badly, became separated from the other. The boats were making for Moreton, now called Brisbane, but Fraser's boat was becoming more and more seaworthy, came ashore on Great Sandy Island, carrying one more passenger than it set out with, for Eliza had given birth on the boat. Sadly, the infant died shortly afterwards. What happened next is unclear. The survivors certainly met the Butchula people and lived among them for a short while. But many of them, including Captain Fraser, died, whether from disease, starvation, or at the hands of the Butchula isn't known. After 6 weeks, a rescue party arrived, presumably alerted by the crew of the other lifeboat. It was led by former convict and escapee John Graham, who knew the bush and spoke the Aborigines' language. Shortly after her rescue, Eliza married another mariner and moved to England, where she became an attraction, recounting her story. However, these stories became more lurid and far-fetched as time wore on. She told of white slavery, cannibalism, torture and murder. So nobody really knew what to believe. We saw more tangible evidence of another shipwreck. The Maheno was a luxury liner, which usually operated between Australia and New Zealand, except for an interval in the First World War, when she served as a hospital ship in the English Channel. In 1935, she was declared obsolete, and was being towed to a breaker's yard in Melbourne, when she broke loose from the tug in a tropical cyclone and beached on Fraser Island. And she's still there today, although in a rather sorry condition, after having been used as a bombing target by the RAAF and for explosive and demolition training by the Australian Special Forces. But she's still recognisable as a ship, and is an essential call for most tours. As I said before, Fraser Island is composed entirely of sand. There isn't a single rock anywhere in the place. But there are some pretty impressive cliffs and pinnacles, formed entirely by blowing sand, which may well become rocks in a few million years. We were taken to see some of these cliffs, to see the different coloured layers in them. Then it was off to Ely Creek, the largest creek on the island, where several tour buses and two aeroplanes gathered. Like the others we've seen, Ely Creek flows silently over the sand, and it's a place for swimming, or at least bathing. The beach, sadly, in spite of its magnificence, is no place for such activity. If the sharks and jellyfish don't get you, the currents will. It had warmed up and brightened considerably since Lake Mackenzie, so it was less of a hardship to slip into the clear waters of the creek and swim, or just let the current carry you down to a pool on the beach. It seems even the creek is reluctant to enter the sea too. We were warned constantly about dingoes. Everywhere we stopped, the guides advised, keep your children by you at all times. The Fraser Island dingo is the purest there is, and they don't want the bloodline contaminated. For this reason, domestic dogs aren't allowed on the island. There aren't as many as there used to be. In fact, we didn't see any. Until, 10 minutes from the barge back to the mainland, we saw just one, sunning himself on the beach. Well, that's all for now. Next time, I'll tell you about the dolphins and the Mary Valley Heritage Railway, which we visited on the way back to Brisbane. The music was by Kevin MacLeod, at all the W's in Computech.com. Well, in the meantime, take care and stay safe. Goodbye for now.